So in this season of life, I think particularly for our students, our young adults, I'm hoping that we can help them see that this idea of anxiety exists and that maybe they can recognize some of its symptoms. I mean, the culture, the technology, the schoolwork, the competition, the self-comparison, all these things add pressure that builds around us and inside of us. And so as adults, I want us to see how maybe we can learn some new skills to help encourage our young adults. And then I also want to draw on this idea that when life feels unsteady, we can look up and we can look inside and we can look around and we can see how God is working. So let's hear from some students of how they're looking at feeling anxious.
I'm like, calm down, you're fine. And then you just keep saying that faster and faster.
I should not be this worried about it.
It gave me a lot of anxiety not knowing, like, what to even do in high school.
Stress is a normal part of life when we are under pressure in new and demanding circumstances. That's a good thing because it helps us adapt when it matters most. There are many reasons why we may feel a little bit of anxiety in today's world. Anxiety is one of the emotions that doesn't feel great, like sadness or anger or fear. Anxiety is unpleasant, but it plays an important role in our lives. We are going to feel anxiety from time to time in our lives, but we don't have to feel anxious about feeling anxious. Everyone experiences anxiety.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I do feel anxious.
I'm anxious all the time.
I think just the overall pressure to do very well in a lot of different categories.
Homework.
For AP classes, for honors and all that.
Once that test comes in front of me, everything blanks and I'm like, oh gosh.
Reading out loud in class.
Getting ready for college.
Did you get in? Have you sent the things? And
accumulates, you know, it's just stress. It's relationships can cause a lot of anxiety.
You know, making friends.
Relationships with parents.
Social media. I blame myself too. We put the best parts of ourselves on social media. And if you spend like a lot of time like looking at that and kind of indoctrinating yourself that that's like how life is, then you kind of blame yourself for a lot of the bad things that happen.
Well, like a lot of people were very competitive with each other.
You want to have this certain body or you want to have this certain amount of money.
Growing up, I definitely didn't have a lot of the things that I wanted, you know, like the things that I wore or even like school supplies.
I was like up all night trying to think, is this the right thing to wear? Like, what do freshmen wear?
I had like a ton of acne on my face and I felt like nobody else did in my school and especially in my friend group. I felt like that's all that people were looking at.
I just have really racing thoughts. My thoughts just move really quickly to like all the different fears.
And a lot of times it's not even something that would happen. It's just your anxious brain just coming up with scenarios.
It's like everything's closing in on you and like you can't do anything. Like you're worried about what's gonna happen.
If anyone talks to me, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. I just focus on like what I'm anxious about and I can't think about anything else.
Sometimes it can affect your physical body. You can have a hard time breathing.
You're like breathing, I guess. Like it kind of like bottles up and it freaks you out.
I just can't breathe. I can't get a full breath in.
Sometimes it's like my chest is tight. Other times it's like I'm burning a hole in my stomach.
If you feel like you're on a roller coaster and it's like right when you're at the very, very top and you feel like your stomach is like up in your chest and you're like about to fall.
Having 1,000 cups of coffee in your body, which it, you can imagine is a little much.
A little more sweaty than usual. You don't want anyone to notice and you kind of just think that everyone's looking at you and you're a weirdo and no one's gonna like you because you're freaking out.
That's kind of what it feels like, at least for me.
It's really hard to explain.
I, for a long time, felt like I was the only one who felt that way. And when I started talking to my friends about it, they were like, oh, I actually feel the same way.
Like, a lot of people deal with that problem.
I mean, I know, at least with me and my friends, we would all experience it, and we'd just talk about it a little bit, like what's going on, like what we're worried about.
Saying what is making me anxious already feels better. Just put it out there. Just use what words you can, and you guys can just start talking about it. Because if you keep it inside, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it gets bigger and bigger. But again, if you say it out loud, it's not as scary.
A lot of people go through it. As cheesy as it sounds, you're not alone. A lot of people have anxiety.
So in this series, we're going to look at what it means to live in an anxious world. And as these young people shared, anxiety is something that exists in the world around us. It's something that we all experience, no matter what our age is. And because we can feel a sense of anxiety, sometimes it can grow and cause all sorts of disruption in our lives. And yet it's also something we need to talk about. And so throughout this series, we're going to be looking at the Bible, and we're going to see how we can watch God work in some stories that maybe you've read before, but I hope to shed some light on them in a different perspective. And then we're going to lean into a spiritual practice that will close out each of our times together. It's called the Prayer of Examine, and it's grounded in an ancient tradition, and we'll take a look at how to practice that. It's also called the Daily Rewind in sort of a modern context, but just five simple steps that you can practice each day on centering yourself on who God is, on what Jesus wants for you, and how the Holy Spirit will equip you. But let's take a look at a story in the Scriptures that I know you've heard before, but I want to look at it today from a different perspective. So here in Mark chapter 6, the writer says, "Right then, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake, towards Bethsaida. And while he dismissed the crowd, after saying goodbye to them, Jesus went up onto a mountain to pray. Evening came, and the boat was in the middle of the lake, but he was alone on the land. And he saw his disciples struggling. They were trying to row forward, but the wind was blowing against them. Very early in the morning, he came to them, walking on the lake. He intended to pass by them, and when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they screamed. Seeing him was terrifying to all of them, and just then he spoke to them." He says what? "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." And he got into the boat, and the wind settled down, and his disciples were so baffled, they were beside themselves. What do you notice here that's unusual? Maybe you could share in the chat. You know, it's interesting that one of the things that I see clearly for me is this idea that Jesus walks steady, if you will. And he's headed in a certain direction, but when he encounters his disciples who are struggling, he doesn't just walk past them and keep on going. He actually stops, and he gets in the wobbly boat with them. And so it's that idea that Jesus gets into the unsteady boat, much like our lives are unsteady, right? There are lots of stories in the Bible where someone shows signs that they're feeling anxious. And I'm wondering what examples you can think of. Maybe you could share those in the chat. I mean, one that comes to mind right away for me is beginning right in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham. And just the difficulties that he had believing that God was going to do what he said he would do and make him the father of all nations. And even the idea of promising that he would have a child someday. And we know the messiness of how he tried to work around that with his wife Sarah. Or even the story of Sarah herself and how she got anxious and thinking that things weren't going to happen. And so she tried to work it her way. Or even Moses got anxious when God told him he was going to send him to Pharaoh and tries to get out of it and gives up all sorts of excuses. Or David. And you see the Scripture is filled with just people just like you and I who let life come at them and it gets complicated. And so even for the people in today's reading, it wasn't just the first time that these disciples had found themselves in a complicated situation where anxiety was off the chart. And so let's back up a few chapters in the book of Mark. Here in Mark chapter 4, he says, "Later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.' They left the crowd and took him in the boat just as he was. Other boats followed along. And then gale force winds arose and waves crashed against the boat so that the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up and he gave orders to the wind, and he said to the lake, "Silence, be still." The wind settled down and there was a great calm, and Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Overcome with awe, they said to each other, "Who then is this? For even the wind and the sea obey him." If we look at this story, or the story we read earlier from Mark chapter 6, what do we see? What are the similarities? You know, once again, Jesus is in an unsteady boat, right, with his disciples. And in both stories, what do we see? We see Jesus speaking or acting from a place of where he's calm, he's still, but he's entering into an anxious situation where his disciples just aren't sure what's going on. And so it's important that we say here that Jesus doesn't leave them alone in their anxiety. He actually joins them in it, and he's with them. And so what do you notice about their response, though? Part of it is, as we look at these stories, is they really didn't get it, especially the first story where they had already experienced earlier, as we just read. They were in awe, yet they misunderstood who Jesus was and his power and exactly what he was doing. And yet in both cases, the water and the wind were calmed by Jesus' words. Their storms ceased, and now Jesus was with them in the midst of their questions and their confusion. So as we ponder this a little bit, I'm wondering, what makes your boat of life feel unsteady? What's making your life anxious? And for our students in particular, thinking about maybe it's school, or maybe it's sports, or maybe it's the activities that you're involved in, or maybe it's friendships, maybe it's relational, or maybe it's something going on at home. So just ponder what it is that is causing you to feel anxious. Now, I know we all feel anxious sometimes, right? It's that knot in your stomach or that nagging fear when you face a challenge. And really, sometimes that feeling, the anxiety, is our body's natural response to stress or pressure we're feeling. And anxiety is a feeling that everyone, all of us, no matter what our age is, we experience. And anxiety can feel like a real problem. And sometimes it is, but here's the important thing to remember. Anxiety exists to tell us something important. Anxiety might be telling us something is wrong, or that we're in some kind of danger. And it might be telling us something about our bodies or our relationships or about basic needs like food and sleep. And so part of what we need to do is we need to learn to listen. I mean, if we look back at the scriptures, Jesus was present in moments when people were feeling most anxious, and he showed them a healthier way to respond. And so as we look at the characters throughout the Bible, we can see that while God doesn't usually place the anxiety on people's shoulders, we want to see that God is present and stays with them in their most anxious moments. So we want to see that anxiety tells us something, particularly here. Just think about the list that you made of what's causing anxiety in your life right now. And so what I want to do now is think about those stress points you just gave some consideration to. Now, I want you to give consideration to two questions in regards to those. First of all, where is God working in the midst of your anxiety? And then what might God or the anxiety be trying to tell you? Like my schedule and the pressure I'm under? Or is trying to tell you about times when you're beyond your comfort zone? Or is it about whether or not you're eating and sleeping enough? Or is it about whether you're putting yourself in harmful or dangerous situations? When anxiety takes control, it can make us feel unsteady. And we can try different things to make that unsteady feeling go away. And these are what we call coping strategies. And some coping strategies might numb us, might numb our feelings, like alcohol or drugs or even self-harm. But many of them cause even more problems. I want you to think about maybe a moment when you turned to a coping strategy that wasn't the healthiest to get out of an anxious situation. The reality is that when these things happen to us, sometimes we develop a habit that becomes really hard to break. See, over time, if we ignore this feeling of anxiety, it can cause other struggles. One in particular, it can cause depression. But the good news is that we can work with anxiety in healthier ways than simply just ignoring them or numbing them. We don't have to follow it down to a dangerous path. There are some healthy coping strategies that can help us step out of our anxiousness and to learn to see these circumstances differently. Because you see, when we listen to what our anxiety is trying to tell us, we can maybe learn about who we are, maybe learn about what situations make us feel unsteady, and help us understand what healthy coping strategies work for us. We can use our power to make changes when situations in our life cause us to feel tense. We can recognize where God is present at work in our rocking boat. And then finally, we can practice listening to God so that we can experience peace and share the peace with others. So it's kind of like how we might cultivate a garden to grow. I know Melinda, my wife, is an amazing gardener, but I know what it takes for the good fruits of the garden to come to harvest, tomatoes and beans and elderberries. There's all sorts of effort that goes into preparing that, toiling the soil. In the springtime, here soon, we'll be adding some manure and some other things to help the garden, the soil be the best it can be, maybe even some gypsum and some other minerals that the soil needs to make the best of the fruit that it's going to bear. And it's much like that kind of cultivation that we have to go through with our lives. So when we're anxious, we need to recognize that God is at our side and he's with us in our unsteady boats. So think back to the stories we just read here in Mark. And you can see maybe there's even a couple other stories about Jesus you've read or heard. But what we need to notice here is that first, that Jesus rarely traveled alone. And actually, as he formed the disciples, called the disciples forth, and he called forth the women who traveled with them, he ended up creating a close circle who supported one another, and even after he was long gone. In fact, that's what we are today, is an extension of that family, if you will. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about anxiety and depression, because they are important things for every person to get comfortable talking about. And the idea is that when we start to feel anxious or sad, there are basically three things we can do. And those things are simply this: to look up, to look inside, and to look around. And what I mean by looking up is that we pause in the midst of our anxious thoughts to look up and see God's wisdom through the Bible. And we then can talk with others who are walking in the faith. And then when we look inside, it's when we think and reflect on where God is at work inside us and what he's doing. And then the looking around is we take a good look at our own anxious world so that we can make peace and share it. One of the tools that we're going to give you today, we'll actually experience it here in a moment, is to look inward, to do what we're going to call the daily replay. We'll make this available to you in a printed form. It'll be here on our website that you can come back to. And it's just a simple 5-step process that if you lean into each day, in those moments, especially when you feel anxious, it's going to help you see God at work in your life, to see how Jesus and the Holy Spirit are going to be present as the Father continues to work on who you need to become. There's going to be some aspects of this that's going to challenge you. It's going to help you look around when you're at home or you're at school, online, at practice. And so I hope that this will be an encouragement on how it is that we can develop some rhythms, if you will, that can help us be all that God desires for us. So let's take a look at this experience called the Daily Replay.
The Daily Replay, a helpful way to pray.
The Daily Replay helps you reflect as you rewind through your day.
As you rewind through your day.
As a prayer, it is an act of worship.
But it is also a habit we can form to help center and focus ourselves.
It is based on an ancient practice of prayer that has been used for hundreds of years.
Today we used a prayer to guide us through 5 steps. 1.
1. Become aware of God's presence.
Find a quiet place away from distractions.
Take several minutes to breathe. As you allow your body to grow quiet, become aware of God's presence with you, now and throughout your day. You could ask yourself a question like, "Where has God been at work in my life today?"
Number two. Review the day with gratitude. Take a moment to give thanks and reflect on questions like,
what are good things that have happened today? What can I be thankful for? Number 3.
3. Pay attention to your emotions. Ask yourself about how you felt at different points of the day,
both pleasant
and unpleasant.
You could look back at difficult moments of your day and think about where God might be at work in those challenging times.
4.
Number 4. Forgive
and ask for forgiveness. Take some time to look at your day through the eyes of the people around you. Ask yourself, where can you take the first step in restoring peace?
Take a moment to reflect on where you may have missed the mark today.
Where might I need to ask for forgiveness? 5.
Number 5.
Look ahead to tomorrow. As you look at tomorrow,
what do you hope will be different?
What would you like to ask God for help with?
The Daily Replay can be done anywhere, anytime.
Using this prayer practice day after day makes it an easy habit to turn to
when our days get challenging.
Rewind.
Anywhere.
Anytime.
So I hope this will be an encouragement, and it'll be a new practice, if you will, to help you in your spiritual journey. Would you pray with me?